Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Gail Gower, and welcome to this evening's presentation of the show Rhyme the Words. Before we get started, I'd like to say a prayer, please. Father God, we just come before you. And Lord, I just ask that words be given to me, that I may make known the gospel. Lord, that I present it fearlessly and clearly, Lord, and that people are able to understand and to know your word, Lord. Know that you love them and know that you have watched over them. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, tonight's program is going to be a little bit different. One reason is because I do not have a rhyme to share with you all. If you all have heard me speak before, you know that I normally write a rhyme in regard to what I'm speaking about. I did start on one some time back as this subject kept rolling over and over my mind. However, it's not finished, so it may come forth at some point in time. But I titled tonight's message All About Eve, and that kind of has a little bit different ring to it because the verses actually did not come about through reading in Genesis. I got this information or got this message from scriptures found in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And let me get those up and I'll read to you. This is also what's known as the Great Commission. And this, in verse 18, it starts out, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. This scripture is one of the hardest scriptures for me to deal with, I guess, is a good way to put it, only because I am not an outgoing person when I'm not comfortable with people I don't know. My husband is one that he can start conversations, he can keep conversations going, he just does not meet a stranger, and I am just not that type of person. I have to feel comfortable before I start opening up. Whenever I find myself in tense situations, it's just like my mind just freezes up. I don't know what to say or how to get things going. And so I wanted to explore this situation a little bit. And I think a lot of this is talking to me to encourage myself. And I wanted to think about someone in the Bible who I would probably have the least in common with. And I wanted to see if I could come up with some things that I might could discuss with her, conversation starters, or just points of interest, things that I would like to know about her. So I chose Eve. And her story is found in Genesis 2, verses, well, it starts with Genesis 2 and 15 through 25. Let me get that up. "Then the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it." This is talking about Adam. "And the Lord commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you do eat of it, you shall surely die. And the Lord said, It is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field, every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was his name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to all the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and he closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord had taken from the man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And the man said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. and they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. So I thought about Eve. I thought about her situation, and I thought, if I was to meet Eve, how could I start a conversation with her? What do I know about Eve that would help me to have sort of ice-breaking questions? What about her would I want to know? And what about her would be of interest that she might want to share? And so if you've listened to any of my messages before, you know that whenever I study a person in the Bible, I like to think about what their life was like, what they might have gone through in their life, what they might be going through at this particular time. So when I got to thinking about Adam and Eve, I thought, let's have a little bit of fun with this. Let's find some differences that we have from Eve. So let's think about Eve. Her dating pool was small, but God chose the perfect husband for her. Eve did not have in-law issues. Eve did not have to keep up with the Joneses. Eve set the standard for her mother-in-laws everywhere. Or maybe this is where the mother-in-laws got the bad rap. Eve became the first grandmother. Eve never went shopping. Or you might say when she bought her food, she went to the original farmer's market. She never got to go eat at a restaurant. She never got a manicure or a pedicure. And she never had to wear hose or high heels. So I also wanted to think about what would Adam and Eve's conversations be like? What would they discuss in their life? And I thought of some things that I thought, you know, that Eve might have said to Adam at some point in time. Adam, you're tracking mud in from the fields. Adam, you're all dirty from working in the fields. Could you wash up before we eat? Adam, is all you brought in to eat was fruits and vegetables? I wish we could have something different. Adam, you tore your leather shirt again. I spent such a long time repairing the last rip, and now you've got another one. Adam, could you make me another set of shoes? This is the only pair I have, and I would like another pair. And thus began the fascination with women and their shoes. Adam, does this outfit make me look fat? To which Adam's reply could have been, and compared to whom? Adam, are you listening to me? I've been talking ever since you got home, and you have not heard a word I said. How about some Adam's replies to Eve? Eve, you made vegetable soup again? We have that every night. Eve, you've overcooked the vegetables. You know I don't like them mushy. Eve, did you get my leather shirt repaired? You know it has a rip and I need it fixed. Eve, why are you complaining about me not washing up? You know I have to work in the fields all day. You want another pair of shoes? How many do you need anyway? And this one was, Eve, fruit pie for dessert? Are you kidding me? You remember what happened the last time you offered fruit and I ate it? So those were just some things that I thought, you know, that might be in their conversations, and I just wanted to have a little bit of fun in that. But let's think about things that we might have in common with Eve where we could sit down and talk with her, and things that we know about her. She was married. She had a husband. Her husband's name was Adam. And you know that there had to have been some trials in their life. That could be something that she would just want to share, some of the things that she's going through. She had children. That is a big one right there. There's always stories to tell. There's events to share. There's happenings. There's funny things that were said or done. Just whatever the kids have done, you know, it just opens up a mother's heart to talk about her kids, the things that they've done, just share her love with them. Another thing, Eve talked with God. Can you imagine what it would be like to sit down and talk with her and ask her, Eve, what was it like to have those conversations with God? What was it like to walk with God in the garden? What did God say? Just what was it like? I mean, I would love to ask her these things. another thing that Eve did was she hid from God. Have we ever done this? I know I have, or at least I've tried. When God was trying to show me something that I didn't want to see, or I actually ignored God in hopes that he would stop trying to show me what I didn't want to see. I remember one time in particular, we were living in the Houston area, and God was trying to tell me to do something that I just did not want to do. And I can remember driving, getting on the freeway, turning off my radio to argue out loud with God. Now, considering I was in 5 o'clock traffic by myself on the freeway, I'm sure that other people were thinking that I had lost my mind, but I was just arguing that I did not want to do something that he had put on my heart to do. But when the argument was over, with me, myself, and I guess, the Lord went out, and it all worked out in the end. One thing about Eve was that she was deceived by the enemy. Have we ever had this happen to us? We've been deceived. You know, sometimes the enemy comes at you, and then he tries to tell you, let's do this, do that, you know, do that. I want you did something, if it was wrong, the enemy immediately comes back and goes, why did you do that? You know that was wrong. You shouldn't have done that. So you find yourself on both sides of the coin with that, where you listen to what he said because he was hounding you to do it. And then when you did it, then he comes back and says, you messed up. So we've been deceived by the enemies ourselves. She blamed the enemy. Boy, I've done that one so many times. You know, I just did not realize that this was wrong, and trying to do that, or going on and on about how it was not my fault. Eve got blame from Adam, and I know I passed that one on because, you know, sometimes I tell God, you know, it's the people I deal with, it's their fault, you know, they just upset me, and I find myself passing the blame, or even I've gotten the blame a few times. Eve saw the very best of the earth in the garden. I just cannot imagine what the Garden of Eden must have looked like. That must have just been so much beauty to behold. It just makes me think of visiting the mountains. That's one of my favorite places, or even the ocean, when the water is blue and clear, to just see beautiful scenery, because I love countryside. I'm not too much of a city person. I do like to visit the city, and I love the things that the city has to offer with the restaurants and the theater, but I love being in the country. I love the mountains. I love to see the mountains and see the ocean. And I think that Eve would have been able to see the very best of the earth. And Eve also had a child that died. And this is something that I haven't faced personally, and I thank you, Lord, that I have not. But just recently a friend's son had passed away. And to deal with that, the heartache, the pain, that is something that a mother might want to share. To just have a friend or someone that would listen. Or Eve also had a child who went astray, and to have someone that you can confide in and talk to them about, you know, what you're going through, and let them know that they're not alone, to listen to their story, to cry with them, to laugh with them, to pray with them, to encourage them. This was another thing that we would have in common with her. If you're a mother, or honestly, if you just know kids, if you know any child, whether they're an adult child, you can listen to this, you can relate to it, and you can understand. Eve was a homemaker, whatever her home looked like. That would be one of the questions I would want to ask. So what did your house look like? What did you live in? Tell me all about it. I think that would just be so interesting that I just really want to look her up whenever we get to heaven
and some more questions that I would like to ask her. I would think, what was your date night with Adam like? Where did you go? What did you see? What would have been special to you? Special for you all to do together? What was the Garden of Eden like? What did you and Adam talk about? Did you talk about what it was like to live in the Garden of Eden? What was it like when you walked and talked with God? What did he tell you? What things did he share with you? What wisdom did he give you? I would just love to have some of that wisdom, you know, that came right straight from God. You know, I pray for wisdom, as according to the Bible tells us that we can do, but to just know that your wisdom came straight from God, how awesome that would be. So you might ask her, so where did you live? What was it like? What was your home like? What was your home life like? Did you ever deal with the guilt over the forbidden fruit? Is that something that plagued you? How did you deal with that guilt? Were you able to let that go? Did the enemy bombard your mind with guilt? Were you able to talk to God about that? How did you deal with the guilt over Cain and Abel and the situation with them and the loss of one son to death and the loss of another son who was banished? To just talk to her about how she dealt with her kids, how she dealt with the pain, how she was able to go on, and then encourage her about the other son, Seth. So since we found that we can really have some things in common with Eve, how can we start other conversations with women to get a conversation going that we might could invite them to church or open up about our faith? One of the things that I had come across was you can normally start a conversation with, are you married or single? Do you have children or grandchildren? One of the things that I seem to start conversations, sometimes not even meaning to, is like, oh, I like your purse. That is so cute. Where did you get that? Or what cute shoes? Where did you get those shoes? And usually if they're high-heeled, the conversation goes like, those shoes are so cute. And the next question is, do they hurt your feet? Because you know, normally if the shoes are cute and the heels are high, they're going to be hurting your feet. But it's a good conversation starter because they can tell you whether they do or they don't and where she got them shoes. What about, your hair looks so nice. I just love the way you have that fixed. How about that outfit is such a pretty color. One of the things that I came up with, a coworker from work who was probably totally different just about in her outlook on life than me, ended up sitting behind me, and she and I became friends. Now, she had tattoos everywhere, and her hair was different colors, sometimes multiple colors in different areas, and just loud, outrageous colors. But she was just a super person. And she came in one day, she had royal blue hair. And I looked at her and I said, you give a whole new meaning to the term blue hair lady, because it was blue. But for her, it was just her personality. It just fit her. And then as our friendship grew, she liked to wear the berets or the beanies. And I was just learning to crochet. And so I struck up an agreement with her that I would make her these hats, the berets, and I would just give them to her as long as she would just give me some feedback on them. Tell me, did they fit? Did they not fit? Were they too big, too little? What she liked about them, what she didn't like about them. And I also ended up becoming friends with another, or actually one of her friends, who also wore the same thing. And I told her the same thing. I'll make the hats for you. All I want is just give me some feedback. Does it work? Does it fit? You know, what do you not like? What do you like? And our friendships started from just those few common things. Another way that I start conversations, and I just had realized this whenever I was actually doing the research on this study, was that I find myself starting conversations when I'm out shopping. And the conversations start in the yarn aisle only because I crochet, and I actually make things as part of my ministry. I send them out to different places. I now actually lead a group of women that knit and crochet at the Hobby Lobby here in our area. I'm probably the least likely person to lead the group only because I'm not an experienced crocheter. I've only been crocheting for a couple of years, and I don't even know how to knit. But I just wanted to find some women from the area that had the same interests. And I asked Hobby Lobby if we could meet in their classroom. I put up a sign there, and women from all over have just come around and been part of the group. We've had some women that are wanting to learn. We have some experienced women. And just to get together and share our hobby and our love for what we do. And just this year, we have started making projects for different places. We've made some baby hats for the Pregnancy Care Center. We've made some items for the Veterans Center, and just a way to minister to other people. Now, this group is not from my church, so it's not necessarily a ministry per se for all of them. It's just a way to be able to help other people. But for myself, it is a ministry. And last year, our church, well, actually every year, our church has what they call the Jubilee. It's a week-long revival of sorts where we have a different speaker each night, and we have different locations because our church has several different locations, and we have different times of services at the different locations. The Durant, Oklahoma church has two services where the Sherman only has one. Anyway, the church printed up a brochure telling which the service times and the different speakers each night. And it also, at the bottom of the card, had a tearaway coupon for a free coffee from our coffee shop. So that gave me an ability to hand out the card, tell people about the Jubilee, invite them to come, and talk to them about the coffee and offer them the free coffee. And actually, a lady who waited on me at the McAllister's, whenever I would go to lunch there, I gave her one of the cards, and she ended up coming. And it so happened that she knew a couple of other girls, and I developed some more friends just from inviting her. I drove through the Sonic one day to get a drink, and I handed one to the lady there that waited on me at the Sonic and told her about it. And a couple of days later, I saw another lady at the church, and she said, "Did you hand out a card to some lady at the Sonic?" And I said, "Yes, I did." And she said, well, she had gone to the Sonic a couple of days later, and the lady was asking her about the Jubilee and told her about it. I know that this had ministered to this person, that I would invite her without knowing her. And even a couple of days later, it was still on her mind that she would even think that these other people were related to that church and want to be part of it. So I keep a scripture written on an index card here at my desk that I pray to try and encourage myself and to overcome my fears from trying to share my faith. The scripture comes from Ephesians 6, verse 19, and this is Paul writing this, that says, "Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel." And I pray this for myself. I pray that whenever I speak, that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, that I can fearlessly talk to people about Jesus, about what God has done in my life, about what God will do for them, how much fun the Lord is, because he has just been just hysterical sometimes in the things that he has brought to my mind. And the thing that he has given me, the gift, has been to write the rhymes. And I've been able to share with different people through those rhymes. Actually, one of the rhymes was on the front page of our local newspaper a couple of weeks ago on a Sunday. I had written a rhyme called Interview with Jonah. And April was National Poet Month or something like that. And so I submitted some rhymes, and that one was one that got printed, which now gives me opportunity to, whenever I'm talking to people, to tell them, well, did you see the rhyme? And actually a lady asked me, she said, did you write that? And I said, yes. So that's how I even found out it was in the paper, because another lady came up and asked me about it. She said that she was reading it, and then when she got to the end, she saw my name as the author. And so that opened the door to be able to talk to her about that. So the Lord will provide ways for us to speak to people, to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to go out and minister to them, to help them in any way possible. Even I know there was a gentleman in our church who was an older gentleman that was a widower, and one of the things that he loved was every summer I would take him tomatoes and jalapeno peppers from my garden. And even though I didn't really know him, we became friends over that, because he used to tell me about whenever he would raise a garden, but he had gotten older, and he just didn't feel like he could raise a garden anymore. But he loved the fresh vegetables that I would bring him, and it gave us a conversation starter. It gave us something in common to share. So the Lord will bring about things, even small things, that give you the opportunity to share. And I just have to say that doing the background on this was something that ministered to me, only because I struggle in this area so much, because I'm not an outgoing person as far as meeting other people. So I had to look to see, what do I have in common with these people? And by picking Eve, who I didn't think I would have anything in common with, and then realized, you know, I do have some things in common with her that I could sit down and talk to her about. So I think that if we look at people, even though that they are from totally different background than us, that we can see if we can find some points of interest, some areas of happiness that they want to share, some areas of pain that they might need a friend to just listen. And these can be conversation starters that give us the opportunity to minister to them. You can minister to them with their joy and their laughter. You can also minister to them just by shedding some tears with them and listening to their story, the hard things that they might have gone through, and give them words of encouragement. So this pretty much has been for myself, as I have listened, because this is an area where I need work, and I just pray that the Lord will continue to work on me in this area. So I thank you all very much for joining. Thank you for listening, and I hope that this is an encouragement to you. And thank you very much, and let me just pray over us. Father God, I just thank you that you have brought this to mind. Thank you, God, that you have shown us encouragement, ways to encourage each other, ways to find common ground that we can be the hands and feet of Jesus, Lord, for opening opportunities that we can minister to each other, Lord, that just gives us the opportunity to share the love of Christ with these people. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all for joining, and we will see you next month.